Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
When it comes to answering the question, which gender is the most responsible for the vast majority of failed marriages and dating relationships, who would you say is more guilty? My guest this evening boldly points the finger at his own gender. In his book, The Problem with Women is Man, the Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness. Who is this author who asserts that many men are simply perpetual adolescents who refuse to grow up and take on the responsibilities that would truly earn them the label of real man? His name is Charles Orlando, and this intelligent and outspoken author is about to take time out of his busy schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo!
Mode 1. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1. Let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the fall 2009 season opener of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Man, it's been so long since I said that, I think I might have to say it again. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. If you don't know, I've been on a seven-week hiatus. My last show was July 24th of this summer, and I've been just chilling since then, and I've been enjoying myself, but I'm glad to be back. I'm excited about the season, and got a great lineup of guests for this fall, and I'm just really just happy to be back in the saddle. Today is Thursday, September 17th, and tonight is the first episode of my third season of Upfront and Straightforward. In case this is your very first time listening to my show and you have no idea who in the hell I am the author of the popular paperback Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, which is a book that is designed to encourage single men to express their romantic and or sexual desires, interests, and intentions to single women in a highly self-assured, upfront, and straightforwardly honest manner. That's where the name of my show comes from, Upfront and Straightforward. Matter of fact, my second book is entitled Upfront and Straightforward, and it targets the manipulative head games that most men and women employ with one another. So that's kind of my background in case you just don't know who the heck I am. Started my radio show back in mid to late June of 2007, and since then, I've interviewed some of what I like to think of as some of the best and brightest minds in the field of dating and relationships and self-improvement for singles. So I love all my listeners. I'm glad you're back with me. I will go on record as saying that I believe this show, Upfront and Straightforward, is the absolute best show on the internet for active, progressive singles. Wait, who said that? don't be messing with me now. I'm telling you, that's what I think. That's my opinion. I want to clear up something. A lot of people, I got emails. Some people seem to be confused on the guests. Last week, I was supposed to have New York Times bestselling author and CSI New York actor Hill Harper. Originally, actually, tonight was supposed to be my season opener. Then I moved it up a week to accommodate Hill, but then he had a last-minute scheduling glitch with his show, and we were unable to get the interview going, but that has been rescheduled for November 5th. So mark that in your calendars. November 5th is when we will be interviewing Hill Harper. Hill Harper, I very much look forward to that. Let me, as I always do, you know how I do it. I always acknowledge my chat room. Every show I do that because I love my chat room. I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners. But I have a special bond, special affection with my chat room listeners. And right now, in the chat room, I see Jason 69 Barnes. He is the up-and-coming talent on the Blog Talk Radio Network. He has his own show entitled No Cut Cards. No Cut Cards. It comes on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. So he's in my chat room, Jason 69 Barnes. Got Sister in my chat room. Longtime loyal listener, Hypert. Hypert is in my chat room. I got Glendon in my chat room. I got my dear friend, Adrian, known her forever. Adrian, also known in the chat room as always, as Diva 362636. I got Dan D in the chat room. I got Claire Evans in the chat room. And I even see my guest for the evening. He's in the chat room. I won't say his name just yet until I give him a formal introduction. And I got Aiden UK in the chat room. Aiden UK. And I'm sure some other friends and loyal listeners will be making their way. I got a number of guests. Other shout outs would be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin JP Jones, at the ball, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Urban V. Pulliam the third. That's right, the lovely Tyler Collins. You heard her song in my intro. Tyler Collins, much love to Tyler Collins. Deborah Compton, Maurice Taylor, Jeff Kenton, Corey Pullman, Daryl Chapman, David Ferguson, Gerard and Theo McClendon, Kathy Holloway Hill, Will Wavy, he started his season yesterday. The Professor, he has a show on Wednesday nights, The Relationship Playbook. Chad Hunter, he's been a guest on my show. Now he has his own show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. The Lavologist. Did I miss Hype Style in the chat room? Hype Style is my cousin. That's my younger cousin, Christopher Curry, Hype Style from Detroit. I'm sorry I missed you, cuz. I'm sorry. I just saw 6ix9ine speak to you. What's up, Hype Style? And all of my fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues. Now, you know what's funny? People who know me know I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, big Michael Jackson fan. And I was recently at an event where I was talking about how much I love Michael Jackson, how much I love Michael Jackson's videos, because I think he's had so many. Remember the Time was a great video. Billie Jean was a great video. Oh, man, I mean, just so many. And I made the comment that I think Thriller might be arguably the greatest video of all time. And then, wouldn't you know it, folks, wouldn't you know it, I was blindsided. I was blindsided. Some crazy dude came up behind me as I was talking about how great the Thriller video was, and he just took the mic from me. Somebody, one of my friends, had it on tape. I was talking about Michael Jackson having the greatest videos, and then this fool says this.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
Now, what is that about? I love Beyonce. I love Beyonce. But he know that Beyonce's videos can't hang with Mike's, Mike J, Thriller, Billie Jean. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I mean, you got to be kidding me, dude. Man, I was so mad. You asked me how mad was I? I told this dude, I said, if you ever take the mic from me again, I'm going to take this mic and shove it down your mother fucking, I mean, I'm just going to shove it down your throat. Your throat. That's what I said to this fool. Going to interrupt me. And then I even had to ask the president. I said, man, I was so mad. I never called the president on anything. And I called the president to see what his thoughts were. And he didn't have much to say. He just said a few things such as this.
What are you buttoning in?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass. What are you buttoning in?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. See, my president backed me up. He said, man, he's a jackass, man. Don't ever interrupt me when I'm talking about how great Mike's videos are. I'm a big Bears fan. I ain't got no confidence in them. I'm sorry, folks. I ain't got no confidence. They lost. Chris Brown is doing community service in Virginia. Chris Brown is doing community service in Virginia. You know what that means? That means he has not evolved yet. He has not evolved yet. And when I get back from this brief commercial break, I will come back with my guest, and he's going to talk about how immature men can go to being involved. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fall 2009 season opener of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest for the evening is an author, writer, and relationship coach in the San Francisco Bay Area. He is an active member of American Mensa, and his writing has been published in a variety of publications, too many for me to name right now, both online and offline. His past experience as a morally challenged, his words, a morally challenged young man, combined with over 1,600 interviews with men and women, has brought The Problem with Men, his book, The Problem with Women is Men. The Problem with Women is Men, subtitled The Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness to Life. He's been taking readers on a humorous, blunt, tell-all romp through the world of men and their issues. Through his efforts, my guest for the evening hopes to assist women in regaining their sanity and empower men in evolving beyond their primal instincts. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, listeners, give it up for book author Charles Orlando.
Thanks, Alan.
Glad to have you here, buddy.
Thanks very much, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, no problem. Now, you know. Number one, thank you for the copy of your book. I've been reading your book, and you got some good stuff in here. But I got to start off by asking you, are you still invited to hang out with the fellas in the Bay Area?
Well, it depends on which circles you ask, I guess. So, you know, it's been an interesting journey. You know, the whole thing started back when I was in high school, through the Navy. When you said introduced me as morally challenged, that puts it as politically as correct as possible. We're on a mature show here, so I guess I can say that I was a dog meat piece of shit when I was a kid.
Okay.
And that puts it as politely, I think, as I can. You know, I didn't treat women the right way in relationships, short-term, long-term. It was always all about me. So I went through kind of an epiphany at about age 25 where I realized that I needed to become greater than the sum of my parts. And as a result, I ended up taking a long look at myself, my life, and then I wanted to kind of check where that was headed with the reality of what was out there. And I ended up talking to a lot of people, a lot of women, a lot of men, 1,600 individual interviews, and found that I wasn't alone, first of all, in my thoughts that men are missing a lot of core competencies that make relationships better and real, but that women were really lacking information as well as getting their needs met in long-term relationships and marriage. So when you ask me, am I still invited? Not very often by the wrong circles. I get blasted on my email on a constant basis. My favorite is from a few weeks ago where I was labeled King of the Manginas.
And,
so, you know.
They hit below the belt, man.
Well, I tell you what, if making my wife happy and being a father to my kids and caring about how I treat other people and making sure that my relationship and my marriage is happy and healthy long term, you can call me anything you want. I have a secure enough ego and a very healthy self-esteem. You can call me whatever. The truth of it is that the guys who were calling me that, their wives or girlfriends were probably in the other room on the other computer ordering my book because they were so frustrated with them anyway.
Ooh,
so
wait to get back at them, man. I like that. I like that comeback. So you were, let me get your words right. You were, before the epiphany, you were a dog meat eating piece of shit. Is that what you said?
Dog meat piece of shit, yeah. I used whatever techniques I needed to achieve my end goal, which was usually to coerce whoever was my mark for the evening into bed, because that's where my motivations were. So, you know, it's different being on this side of the fence. I've been with the same lady for the past 19 years and, two kids, 14 and 11. And my mind shift has completely changed. So, which is why the subtitle of the book, so the book's titled The Problem with Women is Men, but the subtitle is The Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you. You said you experienced your epiphany at roughly 25.
Yeah.
What series of events started happening to you at, say, age 23 and 24 that led to this epiphany at 25?
Well, I wasn't in the right type of relationships. At the end of the day, I was ending up in bed, but on the nights that there wasn't anybody there, you would end up being alone without anything really invested in. You were having sex, but there was no one to share anything else with. There wasn't a life that was being created. You had built nothing except your own physical gratification. And there was nothing there. There was nothing there left for me except to keep coercing women into bed, using whatever charisma or charm that was available to me to get what I wanted out of a relationship. And most of the time they were very short term. When you stare at the mirror, you know, the maxim goes, when you look at the abyss, sometimes the abyss stares back at you, which is really what happened to me. I didn't like what I had become, and I wanted to do something more with myself, with my life, with the woman I had become involved with. My wife's name is Tina, and it just wasn't working long term. What was I supposed to do? I guess I could have been that way until I was 50, 60, 70, built nothing, achieved nothing, besides tearing down other people's dreams, lying about what I said that I wanted out of a relationship, and then breaking hearts. That's no way to live, in my opinion.
Now, is being a man's man always contrary to being an evolved man? Can you be a man's man and an evolved man?
Yeah, well, it depends on your definition of masculinity. What I've called a man's man is the guy who not only is morally challenged, but he doesn't really value things in a long-term relationship. So, and for the record, for listeners here, long-term relationships are not for everybody. If you're playing and you're happy and you're honest, don't get married. There's no reason that anybody should have to be forced into a long-term relationship, and I'm not advocating that that's what has to happen for everyone in order to be happy. But when you take a look at what's out there today, you have lots of people who know how to date, lots of books that exist or solutions or dating coaches that exist to teach you how to meet a woman, how to achieve meeting her, how to start a relationship. But there's not a lot out that shows you how to make a relationship successful as far as real-world examples. You get stuff like Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which is an okay book, but it doesn't really play in the real world today. And something from Chapter 5 in that book sticks out for me, where he states, John Gray is the author of that book, and he states clearly that when a man retreats into his cave, leave him be until he's ready to come back out. And when he comes out, you'll be able to reach him again. That's John Gray's advice to women. And I guess my question is, okay, so how long do you wait, and what happens to the bills, the kids, the lunches that have to be made, the homework that has to be helped with, who's dropping the kids off, who's picking them up, like the life that exists around while you're waiting for him to grace you with his presence again? That's just not real. And I found that it wasn't real in talking to all these women as well. They had a lot of dissatisfaction with their relationships. And in the book, I put a lot of the onus on men for bringing these problems to bear, but I also put 50% of the accountability on women for enabling all these issues as well.
Okay, so you feel like men are exhibiting the undesirable behavior and women are at fault for allowing it.
Both parties are at fault, but so we can defend men here and say that they're driven by primal instincts to perpetuate their bloodline. You know, men are made to protect and provide and to continue the human race. That's where we're at, and women are meant to gather, to nurture, to raise children, to to continue the species as well. But, you know, if this is a civilization and we are in fact civilized, then things like that have to change. Women are not.
Let me ask you real quick. I don't mean to interrupt, but
no, that's all right.
Now, I noticed in the early parts of your book, you acknowledge that the vast majority of those interviewed were women. And I just can't help but to ask you, doesn't that make your findings kind of skewed? I mean, if you interview, say, 1,000 women and 200 men, isn't it a foregone conclusion that your findings are going to point to criticisms of men's behavior rather than women's behavior?
Well, I think that's probably another book that I would be working on, which is The Problem with Men is Women. But to answer your question, I think that's a valid point. The challenge that I've got is that most men that I ran into either told me I was gay, told me I was crazy, or would sit down and talk with me. The ones who talked with me are the 390 some odd men that I was able to sit down and have a discussion with. Many of them didn't have a path, and many of them were on the path but didn't know what it meant. And we ended up having a lot of really, really positive discussion around what masculinity equals today, and what women say that they're missing, and how men can meet them in the middle. I mean, the truth of this is that I'm not asking men to become less than what they are. I'm asking them to become more than what they present to the women in their lives. And I'm asking men to meet women halfway. I'm only putting 50% of the responsibility on men. That's it. And for all the men that have been bashing the book, I guess 50% accountability is too much for them.
Okay, now you threw the G word out there, so I'm going to follow up with this question since you said sometimes you get called gay, and I'm sure that's always unwarranted, but people would throw their subjective labels at people. But you have this section in your book that kind of tripped me up. You said that men should not only be charming, and I'm paraphrasing, but you say men should not only be charming and chivalrous to women, but they should be charming and chivalrous to other men. Isn't that just going to naturally be perceived as a wee bit gay?
I don't know why. So are you telling me that if we walk into Starbucks and you're right behind me holding the door open for you is gay?
Oh, of course not.
Well, right. I mean, gay means that I want to sleep and have sex with a man,
okay.
And I don't. So,
you're saying just exhibit common courtesy is what you're basically saying.
Absolutely. If you take a look at the definition of chivalry, and I do in the book, the old definition, you can back it up all the way a few hundred years, and you'll find the original meaning, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that it meant to win criminal favors from a woman using coercion. So you would lie to get them into bed. And that's not what modern-day chivalry means today. And chivalry is a whole another complicated issue, and I've written a few blog posts on it where there's a lot of women who find a lot of problem with chivalry, that they're not weak. They can hold the door open for themselves. They can pull out their own chair. They don't need a man to do it. And to a large degree, I understand, and I agree.
Well,
see,
now
about,
you get into another area because I don't want to necessarily – bring race into the issue, because in many ways I think a lot of relationship issues are universal.
Sure.
But one of the problems going on, I would say, and I'm generalizing a bit, going on in the black community is that a lot of brothers I talk to, that's their criticism of a lot of sisters. What you just mentioned is that they feel like a lot of sisters will throw out, oh, I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need no man to help me do nothing. I can do everything by myself. Blah, blah, blah. So, of course, that turns the men off because they feel like, okay, well, why is my presence needed? And so, you know, they looking for a woman that makes them feel needed. And then now you got the sisters saying they just running off with the white women and whoever else. And let me ask you this. What percentage, rough percentage of the men and women that you interviewed for your book were African American?
Probably 25-30%.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a significant.
Yeah, no, I wanted a real wide range because this isn't, to your point, this is not a white problem. This is not a black problem. This is not an Asian problem. you know, these issues, you already said it, they're universal. I would agree, though. I've dated black women in the past. They are a lot more vocal with their strength. And I'm not trying to racially stereotype.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that was kind of a humorous understatement right there.
And I'm not trying to racially stereotype, man. When I was a player, I was an equal opportunity employer. Okay, so I did not discriminate. But it was that strength, if you want the truth, that I found the most attractive. Whether black, white, Asian, didn't matter. That strength is what shows women as individuals, and it showcases their individuality and their self-esteem. Maybe it got conjured up that strongly because they had been burned in the past. Maybe it's there because they're just a strong woman. Because I've met plenty of weak black women as well. That were subservient and very submissive. It's not as commonplace, but I've definitely seen it.
I got to give you a time out. I see. This is where I have a problem. Is that with some people? Is that they have this perception that if, say, a woman is very vocal and is always expressing strong opinions, that means she's strong. And if a woman is, you know, very ultra feminine and kind of soft spoken, that means she's weak. And I tend to disagree with that, because I think there's a lot of women I've met in my life who were, say, soft spoken, but they knew how to handle and overcome adversity better than many people. Then you've got a lot of these loudmouth women and men, loudmouth men and women, who want you to think their strength is in their mouth, but they don't know how to handle adversity. So I tend to kind of make a disconnect between, you know, kind of weak is synonymous with soft-spoken and kind of the meek demeanor.
Right. Well, we're on the same page. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Loud means you're loud. It doesn't mean you're right. It just means you're loud. When I mean vocal with strength, I mean someone who's able to step up and offer an opinion and have it be thought about, you know, not to just bend to the will of the other people in front of them. So from my experience, at least with the women that I dated, I found a wide variety of people were able to, a lot of those women were very vocal with their opinions. They would step up to the plate. They would offer strong opinion. I mean, I have a strong personality, and I need someone to bump up against. Otherwise, I'm going to run over them. And my wife is definitely a strong woman, not loud, just strong, able to keep the barrier up so that I'm only 50% into the relationship, and I don't just bowl right over her. And I need it and appreciate it.
So you say you believe a man should you think dominance is a good thing to a degree, but you believe a man should share his power with women. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, I think that the world has already dictated that. If you go back prior to the 1940s, before World War II, women definitely had a place, and it was right behind the man. They weren't allowed, most women, I'm speaking very generally, most women were not allowed into power. Men would allow them a place in society. World War II changed a lot of that, where men went off to war, and then all of a sudden, the women who were just in the kitchen really became these architects and engineers and baseball players and mothers and parents and everything else. Men came back from war and thought they were going to put them back in the kitchen, and it really didn't work out very well. And that's where I've seen a lot of these issues really coming to bear is over the last 50, 60 years. The power struggles have been significant since that time. And I'd like to do a lot more reading and studying about the rise of women in power and empowered women both over the last 60 years. But things are much different. Do you think Michelle Obama would be as widely respected today or in the 40s as she is today? And we're talking about a very powerful woman attorney who's now helping a variety of different causes with her husband in office. But it wouldn't have been that way. There were women back then that were able to achieve a lot, but they were few and far between. We could talk about Eleanor Roosevelt. There's a variety of women. It's much more commonplace today, and men just don't seem to be very comfortable with that. So when I'm talking about sharing power, I'm talking about a joint equal effort in relationships, regardless of what those relationships are, whether it's romantic, and I concentrate on the book on romantic relationships, but romantic relationships, platonic relationships, there's an equality that needs to be struck. Now we're heading down a different path, but the equality is really based on a combination of things. The thing that comes up to me the most is communication. And I think what people forget when it comes to communication, people automatically think that they need to talk. And the truth of it is that if men would listen and not talk, they might hear some things that would help guide part of what I'm describing here.
Okay. When I get back, I'm going to have a number of other questions for you. Right now, I'm going to take another quick intermission break. And after I ask a few more questions, listeners, I will start opening up the phone lines. I actually see a few people in my queue already. I don't know if they're just listening and want to ask a question, but when I get back, I'm going to ask him some more questions, and I'll probably take some calls. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with my guest, Mr. Charles Orlando, who's the author of the book, The Problem with Women is Men.
Hey, I'm Dangerously, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com, and remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mo One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mo One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's
called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with relationship coach and book author Charles Orlando on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to my fall 2009 season opener of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is the beginning of my third season. I've been on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network now for about 2 years, a little over 2 years actually. And this will be the beginning of my third season. And with me to kick off this third season is a guy who, man, he's done broke all kinds of guy codes from the mythical man code handbook. His name is Charles Orlando, and he is the author of The Problem with Women is Men, The Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness. Now, Charles, would you say Barack Obama is an evolved man?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's changed a lot of things. You know, it's, when you compare him to the last couple of presidents, I think he brings an integrity to the White House that hasn't been there in I don't know how many years. So I voted for him. I'd have voted for him twice if I could have. He has a message. He has a vision. He values himself, his family. I mean, this is a guy who puts everything on hold on every Friday night and has pizza night and movie night with his kids and his family. You know, this is a guy who recognizes that, yes, the priority is the country and the world, but he's got to look back at these people every day, and he's their guiding force. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't have housekeepers in the White House for his kids. They have to get off their butts and clean their rooms themselves. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who values family, and whatever the motivation. I obviously don't know him personally, mm-hmm. but what he portrays is a genuine man of honor, and in the face of massive challenge and adversity, valor.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, and this might be a dumb question, but first I was going to ask you, do you think you would have attracted your wife before you had your epiphany? And obviously, I think I know the answer to that. What specifically do you think you changed that allowed you to attract your current wife? And then follow that up by answering this question. What would you say are the four core flaws that men have, and how do those flaws affect women?
Sure. So let's take the first part of your question. The truth of it is that I met my wife in the middle of my playing days. We had been together 5 years before I figured out what I was really doing. And we were an on-again, off-again couple for the first 5 years. She would get tired of my nonsense and she'd dump me. And I'd go off whoring.
So you met your wife while you were the dog meat eating piece of shit.
and she's very well aware of all of my past exploits, so you can ask me anything here and she already knows it.
Okay.
But we met in the middle of all of that as I think I was starting to take a look at myself, and a couple years into our relationship, she was really the only person that I could see myself with, strong and opinionated and smart, and not willing to put up with all of my nonsense, to the point where she would just get rid of me if it got stupid. And I need that type of a person that I, as I said before, that I can really bump up against, who isn't some weak, demure, little frail little thing. I need somebody who's gonna be my equal.
So Tina was your match. You met your match.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely my match in a variety of different ways. And it was that kind of, I wouldn't say that she was the cause of my change, but she was definitely the catalyst. Meeting her and really realizing that this is a woman who I valued, that I trusted, that I needed to really get something together with, meant that I had a lot of changing and a lot of growing up to do. Otherwise, the relationship was never going to be successful.
But let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question before you get to the second part of my question. You talk about the guys who are kind of basically stuck in adolescent mode, and they haven't evolved yet, and I would generally agree with that. But here's the problem I hear from men. A lot of these men are probably what I would arguably call evolved men. They say that they feel like a lot of women, for whatever reason, are attracted to the you've heard it before, where the belief that a lot of women are attracted to the guy who's the jerk and the asshole and the bad boy. And so a lot of men feel like, well, what's my motivation to improve myself and become a more, quote-unquote, evolved guy, when, you know, a lot of these women are just going to, you know, find these jerk guys, these adolescent guys attractive. Should they just say to themselves, I'm going to dismiss these women as not the quality of women I want to pursue, or do they have a reason to be frustrated?
Well, no, I think they have a reason to be frustrated. And I also think that you have to take a look at the type of women that are talking about that. So as a general statement, women usually under the age of 30 are chasing that type of alpha male. And he may be a jerk. And that alpha male drips, obviously, into other age groups. But as a majority, you talk about guys who are 15 to 29, who are grabbing a hold of the machismo side of masculinity, who have to prove what they are. They have to control their shit, which includes the lady in their life. They have to make sure everything is aligned and make sure that they have everything under control. And those are the guys that these women are mostly talking about. I think these women have a lot to complain about depending on their goals. So when men bring all these challenges to the relationship, women have a choice. They can put up with it for a variety of reasons, but they can make a different choice and not put up with it. The guys can only do whatever these women really allow them to. You can't just treat a woman any way you want without her permitting it. And that goes for anybody. Women can't treat men any way they want without a man permitting it. You know what I'm saying?
I mentioned that actually in my book, yeah.
Yeah, it's not no one has control of anybody. Everybody has control themselves. It's all an active choice. So I would say to the women who are dating these jerks, how many jerks are you going to date before you can spot the signs? How many men do you want to train or attempt to train into a better guy? And that's a whole different subject that we can get into whenever you'd like to, because women talk about man training all the time. It's not my term. That's their term. I just happen to be bringing it out.
Okay. Oh, and now I'll let you get to the second part of the question I asked you.
Sure. So the four flaws that we're
men have.
Right. The four flaws that were mentioned most by women, and this was 1,200 women, 400 men, and the men mentioned it too, of things that the ladies in their lives were complaining about, were able to be put into four main categories. And that is what I've termed as uber dominance control. And control rears its head across everything, whether it's him driving on the freeway or whether it's, you know, what she's doing that night and if she, quote unquote, has permission. There's control is probably the biggest destroyer of relationships and trust today. So that's the number one reason. The second would be fidelity. Being loyal and faithful to your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever is a challenge for anybody at any age group, but it's always a choice. You know, I've interviewed 1,200 women alone much of the time. I had choices all the time. And it really depends on what I would want to do with that choice. Do I not value my current relationship or my wife enough to cheat on her for whatever my reasons? And if the answer is yes, then I shouldn't be in the relationship. And if the answer is no, then I'm a stand-up guy who's honest and wouldn't treat his best friend that way. And that's really where fidelity kind of where the rubber meets the road. When a man cheats on a woman or a woman cheats on a man, they're doing something to someone. They're doing something to a person that they say they love, and the thing that they're doing is ultimate betrayal. And that's something they would never do to their best friend, but they would do it to the one they're romantically involved with. So that was number two. Number three was etiquette, which, as you talked about earlier, is a combination of chivalry, which is really common courtesy to everyone. And the second part of that would be manners. Something disappears both physically and mentally once couples have been together for a while. Whether guys are playing the Dutch oven in bed or leaving the bathroom door open or not shaving on the weekends, or it exhibits itself in a variety of symptoms.
Wait, I'm sorry, you use some lingo I'm not familiar with. What is the Dutch oven in bed? What is that?
Well, that's not my lingo either. That was what was brought up. So this is passing gas in bed and then putting the covers over her head. Because it's funny.
Okay.
And right. Well, these are the complaints, man. You know, when I talk about this stuff and it's quoted in the book, these are not my stories. I was never like that when I was playing around. You know, I mean, where is your sense of gentlemanly pride? Jesus Christ. Anyway, the fourth and final flaw that was brought up was emotional availability. The notion that men can listen without speaking and without trying to solve the problem instantly, which is something that men are kind of they're made to do that DNA-wise. We're built to solve whatever's put in front of us. And I think that women have stated that they're really looking not only to have someone – well, they don't want someone to solve the problem. Maybe we'll bat it around for a while, and maybe the problem will work itself out. Maybe I just want to talk about it for a minute, and I just want you to listen without trying to solve it. That's one piece of emotional availability. So, and I go into a lot more into the book as well. But those are the four flaws.
Hey, I got to ask you a quick favor, as I do some of my guests. This conversation is really flowing, and my default interview period is usually about an hour and a half. But if need be, if I wanted to extend it, would you be cool with that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I'm low maintenance, man.
All right. I think I got at least a couple calls. I'm going to go first with area code 909. Area code 909. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest book author, Charles Orlando. What is your question and or comment?
Hi, guys.
Hi. What's your first name?
Kiana.
Kiana, okay. What's your question or comment from Mr. Orlando?
My comment is, you know, what God's saying, I agree with him 110%. But what you were saying earlier about black women being really, really strong, which I totally agree with 110%. But like myself, like I used to be, I could do it all on my own and you aren't as, you know, whatever. But I met somebody to where I didn't have to be that strong with. So I think a lot of times you get attitude from women because they aren't meeting men who are, like, who are really...
Have backbone.
ready. Right.
Okay. You're describing men that kind of have a lot of insecurities. When you talk about strong women, we can pick two out of the air, like someone like Drew Barrymore, who owns her own production company and is financially successful and has gone through her own stuff in life. She can't keep a boyfriend because men are so intimidated by her success and by her power in Hollywood.
I mean, I'm not really sure if that's the case for the average woman, but I am saying that when a woman meets a man, that she can honestly say, okay, I'm backup. Because I know he has it, you know, and you're able to be softer and kinder and not so, is this done? Is that done? No, not tomorrow, right now. You don't ask those questions because you know this man has already done it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it makes you be different.
Right. So let me see if I understand what your comment is here. I'm not sure that I'm capturing it. Can you say it one more time? I'm sorry.
It sounds like she's saying, let me see if I got you right. You're saying that a woman will naturally be easier to get along with and more feminine and won't be as vocal and loud if she runs across a man who has himself together and does the things
that
she needs to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I was single and I was dating, I was working a ton of hours, you know, I was like doing my own thing, and, you know, I don't really need you, right? Then I met this excellent man. I work part-time, I'm able to stay home most of the time and cook and clean and do all those things that genetically women want to anyway. But when you put women in a position to where they have to be out there just like men every single day, it's going to make them be a different kind of woman. I met a person where I can sit back and just be a woman and not be a woman at home.
Okay, all right.
And the man everywhere else. It doesn't work like that. It's on or it's off.
Right, no, absolutely. And you're bringing up a couple of different issues. So the one where women are outside in the workforce and they come home, there's a book by a woman named Linda Hirschman who wrote a book called Get to Work, A Manifesto for Women of the World, that talks about those exact challenges of women going into the workforce, but then they come back and the guys won't, quote unquote, help out around the house, so they end up pulling double duty. There's plenty of men, though, to your earlier point, that if a strong woman comes across a strong man, then his strength has to be based on some different things for her. He has to have enough security in himself to know that she has a place too, that he doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all protector, hunter, gatherer that has been ingrained into his DNA for hundreds of thousands of years. It's okay that she might be more successful, that she may end up making more money than him, that whatever, because she's an individual. I mean, I think that men forget once they enter a long-term relationship, because oftentimes relationships start the way you're describing, where they start very even and very equal, and then as time goes on, things change, men get insecure, and then things fall apart. And I think that's probably one of the biggest contributors to that, is that men forget women were women first, and they were wives and mothers second. And I think men lose that as time goes on in relationships.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, caller, for your comment. Much appreciated. And I'm going to take another call from a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. I saw you talking smack to him in the chat room, Charles. He goes by the name 6ix9ine. His real name is Jason Barnes. He's now about to get up front and straight forward with Alan Roger Curry and you, Charles Orlando. 6ix9ine, what's your question?
What's going on, Mr. Curry? Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate you. And Charles, it's great to talk to you, bro.
Same. Great to meet you.
All right. My question is, you know, and I will keep this brief. I know Alan's I have a tendency, but
no, ask your question, brother.
All right. My question is this. You're married. You've been married for how long now?
We've been together 19 years married. I finally got her drunk enough to marry me about 11 years ago.
All right. Being a man, and it's just three fellas talking on the phone, do you ever miss it? The hunt, the chase?
Oh, sure. I'd be a liar if I said no, man. The hunt is, but
right.
You find your hunt in different ways, you know? I think it's a matter of where you focus your energy, but yes, sure, I miss it. I don't miss the end goal. You know, I have a great lady that I go home to every night. But the hunt, yes.
All right, well, you know, the reason I'm asking is because most men, they, you know, there's nothing, and Alan, I'm going to say it like I said it the first time I ever called into your show. There's nothing like pussy but new pussy. That's the best thing ever. And I always say, and I've said it on my show and quite a few other places, that if most men, when they get to the point where they want to get married, they've either gotten tired, their options are becoming limited, or, you know, it's like other folks have talked to men to, I need to settle down and everything. And I think monogamy is an unnatural state for men. You know, just we normally, consistently, you know, we need to spread our seed, and like a lion pride, we need to have more, and we protect our women.
Let me stop you real quick. I'm going to interrupt, but Charles has a section in his book about this very thing. Can you quickly address this whole spread your seed desire, Charles?
Well, sure, and I think it, I don't know where it's written that men have to scatter their seeds. I would agree with you that men are driven by exactly these types of instincts. So to your point, I think primally, no, this is not a natural act. Men would perpetuate their bloodline, and then maybe they'd stick around, maybe they'd bounce, you know, and the woman would take care of the kid once they were done, you know, and that's the way things have been for thousands of years. I'm suggesting that if you're going to enter along, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, so long as you're upfront and honest with whoever you're involved with.
Upfront and straightforward.
Absolutely, and straightforward. but I think where things fall apart is that men lie and cheat and steal their way into getting laid, and women are coerced with the thought that they're going to be cared about in a deeper way. So men hit it, they quit it, and then women wonder what happened because they fell into this trap. And that's where it falls apart for me. So yeah, so monogamy, is it a natural act? Maybe for some. It is for me. But it wasn't always. I just happened to find the right woman. And for those that in monogamy it doesn't fit, don't do it. But be honest. You know, don't wrap her feelings all up in it. Now, the problem with that, of course, as I learned during my bad Playboy days, is that the second that the guy, as nice and as charming as he is unavailable, that makes him even more attractive to the woman that is chasing him. As soon as he's honest
bad boys.
And says, I'm not interested, yeah, as soon as he says he's not interested in a long-term thing, that becomes her mission to capture him in a lot of cases. And I would definitely use that to my advantage. Absolutely. And I did.
Alan, may I ask another question?
Go ahead, man.
All right. Men talking amongst men. And, you know, let's pretend that your wife isn't listening and standing over your shoulder, Charles. If whoever the epitome of sexiness is came to you and said, I just want one night of freelance sex, and you're saying, I've become monogamous, honestly and truthfully, up front and straightforward, and you had no chance of getting caught, would you do it?
So I'll tell you the answer to that question because I faced that exact situation 9 years ago, man. So 9 years ago,
okay.
I'm a marketing executive at a high-tech startup that was founded in San Jose. I was one of the original 50. We grew to 600, blah, blah, blah. I was at a trade show in New York. And as part of our sponsorship, I had hired two Playboy Playmates to come and be at the booth with us. Well, they were there for 4 days, and the booth wasn't constantly busy. We had a lot of downtime, and as a result, we ended up talking quite a bit. The woman who, the playmate, and I, she will remain nameless, and I ended up hitting it off very well. We were just talking, and at the end of the third day, she asked me if I wanted to go to dinner, and she made it very clear that dessert was on the menu. And it took me a minute to think about it, and I smiled, and I'm like, damn, are you kidding me? Like, come on now. And I ended up turning her down. And I'd be a liar if I said it wasn't with some regret, you know? And I went back to the hotel room, took a cold shower, and then called my wife and told her the whole story. And I told her, you are so fucking lucky because you would have never known. You would have never known. And we laughed on the phone. But it came down for me to, you know, yeah, it would have been whatever it was, and I would have had bragging rights that I made it with a playmate and blah, blah, blah. But I would have disrespected the person in my life that I value the most. And I couldn't do it, man. I just could not do that to her.
Why?
So, because she's worth more to me than that. And she is, as a friend, as a person, as a human being.
But if she never would have known.
No, but I would have. And I would have had to look back at her. I would have had to have told her, and that would have been it.
And see, that's
so,
where I want to jump in here, because see, that's why one of the reasons I wrote my book is because I have no problems, you know, like if guys want to have multiple sex partners, that's fine with me. If you marry and you want to have additional sex partners, that's fine with me, as long as you're upfront and straightforward.
No doubt.
A lot of people look at it as a moral issue. For me, it's an issue of balls. And to me, it is an act of cowardice for a man to be sneaking behind his girlfriend, sneaking behind his wife. You need to have the balls to step up to your girlfriend or wife and say, I want to exchange orgasms with somebody else. There's guys who do it.
Yeah, well, as long as you're honest and everybody's got it even, or maybe it's not even, maybe she's comfortable with him going out and doing that. If it's up front and you're talking and listening to each other, there's no rules to how relationships have to work out. But men, to your point, Alan, men don't have the balls to stand up and say, this is what I want. What do you think? And what happens if she says no? Do you do it anyway?
Because they don't, because what bothers me, I'm giving my little soapbox, I honestly, me, I can't stand when guys refer to themselves as players when they're essentially lying womanizers. I don't consider any guy who's a lying womanizer a player. A player is a guy that's sleeping with, say, three or four women, and each of those three or four women know he's sleeping with other women. That's a player. But if you're sleeping with three women and all of them think they're the only one, no. Message for you.
Right, I agree.
Player. That don't take no balls to do that. So, but hey,
totally
thanks a lot, 6ix9ine, for your questions. Always entertaining. Charles, I want to ask you that a question. What advice do you have for a woman that's in a relationship with a man's man, the pre-evolved guy?
Well, I think that I had kind of said some things earlier. I think that women forget that they were women first, that they were individuals. They had dreams and desires and things that they wanted to accomplish. No woman at 8 years old – well, I shouldn't say no woman. Most women at 8 years old, they don't want to be stuck at home cleaning a house while a man is doing something else, you know, and she's enabling his life, but she doesn't have her own. That's just not the way women are thinking. Or people are thinking. I mean, this is an individual thing. So I guess my first comment would be, you know, do you realize that you're a person, that you are an individual that has wants and needs and desires that extend beyond what your relationship exists at today? So the second thing I would say is you got things out of order. In the book, I go through a couple of different things. There's three questions that people, but I direct it to women, but people really need to ask themselves as they enter a long-term relationship, and that is, who are you, where are you going, and then it becomes a question of who's going with you. Those are in chronological order, and you don't have to have 100% of everything baked before you go into a relationship, but you need to have a strong sense of where things are at. Because if you don't and you end up picking a partner before you know even what you want out of life, you're going to end up trapped. So I would ask women to kind of take a look at those questions and try to figure out, why did you settle for whatever's in front of you today? Why don't you get more out of your relationship? You have to realize that you are the only one, not the only one, you're the only one in control of you, but you're actually in control of a variety of things, he's just not the only one in control of the relationship if you're being dominated in that way. And if your self-esteem has taken too many hits, that's something that would need to be worked on as well.
Now, you say something interesting. Well, you say a lot of things interesting, so I don't need to preface it, but you say something interesting. But you say there's a difference between a woman being bitchy and just being a flat-out bitch. What's the distinction between a woman just... So you say all women have like a bitchy mood or a bitchy phase, but that doesn't necessarily make them a bitch.
No, absolutely. My wife's bitchy. And and I would say that, by the way, anything on this show, she may end up listening to this later. I mean, as I said, my life is an open book with her. She knows everything, so including about the Playboy Playmate. But she's totally bitchy, and that's a big part of the reason why I love her for who she is. What I'm really talking about here is strength, is inner strength. Someone who can project their opinions without being necessarily abrasive. As we talked about earlier, being loud doesn't make you right. It just makes you loud. She's well thought and well read and has opinion and based on experience and based on fact. And she talks with me, not at me. And that's really a defining difference for a man who's an asshole or a woman who's a bitch. Whenever you talk at someone that you know everything and you talk down, then it's a big problem. That's a big determining factor for me in how things have been defined. But yeah, being bitchy is a good thing. Being a bitch is that nag, the complainer. And those men and women, by the way, I've met plenty of bitch men who just don't know what they're doing, man. You know, where they do it a different way. You know, why don't you want to spend time with me? You know, why are you always going out with your girls? I've seen those guys, and
yeah,
I've seen where you're going.
Bitch-ass men out there.
Well, you know, I mean, if you have to bear down on your lady in order to get her to be with you, then you have false strength. You know, then the guy's a bitch. I just don't have another term for him.
See,
you know?
I'm loving you now, Charles, man. Yeah, you keep it real, man. Guy's a bitch. Yeah, I tell you, if there's one thing worse than being around a woman who's a complete bitch, is a man who's a complete bitch. And I've been around at least a handful of guys that was just a bitch-ass man. Damn. Yeah, man, that's good stuff right there. You know what's funny? Going back to the cheating thing, you just talked about with 6ix9ine, and you talked about – did you see this movie – with Chris Rock? I think he wrote, produced, and directed it. It's called I Think I Love My Wife.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that movie. And he has this scene in his movie where he almost talks directly about what you were talking about at the beginning of the conversation. He kind of like weighs the pros and cons of each. Like he says, when you're single, you can just go up to a woman and say, hey, I want to fuck you. Let's find somewhere to fuck. And she'll say, hey, okay. And he's basically like, you can get all this pussy. That's the plus side. And there's 6ix9ine, you know, this old line about, you know, nothing better than pussy than new pussy. But he points out in that movie that the downside, though, is as you mentioned earlier, in between those one night stands and weekend flings, you just feel lonely. You feel have a void because you don't really have anybody that's genuinely sharing your life with you.
Correct. Absolutely. And I did see the movie and I thought it was hilarious. And I mean, Chris Rock is just brilliant, period. You know,
yeah,
I've been
is.
Following him
he
since really he was Pookie. So, you know, But no, it's and what you really see in that movie is kind of a piece of what I've been describing, which is a path of self-discovery and self-realization about a relationship. And because he's faced with a wide variety of dilemmas and choices throughout that entire movie. And it's really how he chooses to live that changes, you know, that where he ends up at the end.
Now let me ask you, do men and women cheat for the exact same reasons, or there's different motivations behind?
Oh, no, absolutely not. And we've been talking about the main reason that men cheat this whole time, which is new pussy, right? you know, it's the number one reason that men cheat, and it's really interesting because I ended up doing a survey on this and put together a couple of different articles that have gone out on a couple of different sites and in print. But men cheat mostly, and there's a difference. So when we talk about cheaters, people who cheat are broken down into kind of two different areas. There's people who are short-term cheaters. These are people who have a fling. You know, you go to Vegas, you get trashed over the weekend. There was a stripper at the club, and oh, shit, you know, I woke up, and damn, thank God there was a condom wrapper on the bed. All right, so that's one kind of cheater. Mm-hmm. Then there's another kind of cheater, which is the person who has the affair. But we'll get to that in a second. So short-term cheaters, the number one reason guys cheat is to get sexual gratification with no emotional tie, which is fine, provided that they're not cheating, that they're being upfront and honest with the other person, upfront and straightforward with the other person.
Yeah, please. Upfront and straightforward.
rounding out the top five for men would be they were presented with an opportunity to have sex, but they wouldn't get caught right away, which is kind of the situation I was faced with in New York. But I didn't do it. The third would be to satisfy sexual curiosity, maybe to have sex with a particular person. I wonder what they'd be like. The fourth would be the thrill of the chase, and the fifth would be to feel important, you know, to get an ego boost that she wants him. Women, on the other hand, cheat for completely different reasons. Women cheat because they have a complete lack of emotional connection and intimacy in their relationship. That's the number one reason that women go out and find another guy. And I'm speaking, saying the majority, because there's plenty of women who cheat like men, quote unquote, where they just go out and they just do whatever they want to do. But when we talk about
is the only thing better than steady dick is new dick, huh?
Well, maybe. And as long as they're being up front too, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
The second would be marital or relationship unhappiness, where they're just not valued, taken for granted, which leads to the third, fourth, and fifth reasons that women have these kind of flings, to reaffirm her desirability, to re-experience feelings of romance, and then the fifth would be just plain loneliness, where they are taken for granted and ignored.
So, you know, I'm a big movie buff, so I kind of refer to movies a lot. But a movie that a female friend had me watch a while back was, I would have never watched this movie on my own, was The Bridges of Madison County. And I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, I like a lot of what would be considered chick flicks. That wasn't one of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, no man would watch it on their own. I had to kind of have my arm twisted to watch it, but that's essentially what that movie was about, is that Meryl Streep plays a wife. She's the wife of, like, this guy who's a farmer, and he's not a bad guy. It's interesting because in most movies, you know, usually if the woman's unhappy with her husband, it's because, you know, he's an asshole, jerk, cheats on her, abuses or whatever. Her husband, honestly, he was a good guy. He was hardworking, but his one weakness, he just kind of took his wife for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint Eastwood is this National Geographic photographer that comes in town and takes some photos, and he just ends up paying so much attention to Meryl Streep's character that she, like, falls for him, like, in a weekend just simply because he paid attention to her, you know? Whereas her husband kind of treated her like she was just another piece of furniture in the house.
Well, and I can bring that – the writers did their research there, and I can bring it into a real-world example, which is the 4 years that I interviewed those 1,200 women. Sitting down with those women, it was very casual conversations in train stations and airports and restaurants and bars and, you know, wherever I would just strike up a casual conversation. The interesting thing is that as we got talking, within 3 or 4 minutes, they recognized that I wasn't some quack that was trying to take them out to the parking lot and either kill them or sleep with them. And that I was working on this book, but as we got deeper into the conversation, a lot of women found that the questions I was asking and how I was looking at their eyes and not at their chest when we were talking and, you know, just really engaged with who they were, a lot of them found it as foreplay. And I ended up getting hit on a lot during the research of this book. And I didn't do anything special, man. All I was doing was talking and listening and paying attention. That's it. That's it. Nothing magical. Just listening and genuinely caring about what they had to say. And these women were aroused to the point where, I mean, some were asking me to go home. Like, come on now. I got two kids and a wife at home. There's not room for you too.
That's funny, man. Well, hey, I'm gonna take another break. This is probably the final intermission. If you want to get a swig of water, but before this is, I don't know if you've listened to my past shows, but this is kind of a tradition on my show where I have my guests. It started, I don't know, a year ago, where people took the title of my book and stretched out the O's. So instead of saying mode one, they say mode one. So I usually have the guests say that before I go to one of my intermission breaks. So, Charles, give me your best rendition of mode one.
Well, maybe we could do it like that, or should we do it like a WWE announcer?
Hey, do it whatever way you want.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
I see a couple more callers. I don't know if you're just listening or calling to ask a question. If you are calling to ask a question, I'll get to you right after this intermission break. Don't go anywhere, anybody.
Live in our Countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Now, live with me on the Countdown Hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our Countdown studios, my friend, Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the Countdown Hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend, Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my Countdown Hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The Countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Mo One.
I've never really looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay.
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl have this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. you know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held, and I want to cuddle, and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with relationship coach and book author Charles Orlando on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the fall 2009 season opener of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm joined by a very intelligent, funny, and articulate author, writer, loving husband. His name is Charles Orlando, and he is the author of the book, The Problem with Women is Men, The Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness. And I just got to tell my listening audience, you know, I'm a little irritated right now, because as you know, I got a video out. Been out for a while, where I explain my book, Mode One, and I go around, you know, at book signing events promoting my video. And the last event, just yesterday, I was with a group talking about my video, and this guy, persistent rascal, just comes up behind me and just starts yelling out stuff. A friend of mine caught it on tape.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
Man, I told you before, I'm going to take my mic and I'm going to stuff it down your... Boy, that guy getting on my nerves, man. I tell you, he getting on my damn nerves. Mo, one video is the bomb. I don't care about Beyonce's video. But, Charles, let me ask you, can a man be strong and sensitive at the same time?
I don't see why not. Women have long lamented that men are one side or the other. So when we talk about too strong, too virile men, you know, they're building their masculinity on the fact that they sleep with women or that they have physical prowess and strength. Or we talk about the beta males who are more nurturing, who like to stay home. I think that women and the feedback from them has been very clear that they're looking for a combination. When I talk about a man's man, I'm not talking about a watered-down version of a man. I'm talking about someone who knows the difference between dominance and leadership, because there is a very big difference, and someone who recognizes that you're not supposed to help around the house. Help means that it's someone else's job, and you're helping them. That it's part of your job, too. And I say all this as the sole monetary support for my house. My wife is a part-time abstract photographer, starving artist, and a stay-at-home mom. And I've been the monetary support since we met. And just because I bring the money home doesn't automatically grant me 100% control. We're sharing a life together. So we share whatever is provided to the village, so to speak. So, you know, when we talk about what a strong man is all about, what masculinity, in my opinion, should be built on, it's a combination of those two things, knowing the difference between leadership and dominance and leading without offending, without crushing someone else into oblivion, and being a beta male where you're very, very emotionally available, very sensitive. There's a place in the middle where men need to be, which is where women are looking to find you.
Joe Wilson didn't like that.
Does Joe Wilson like anything I'm going to say?
I'm going to go to the phone lines again. I got area code 985, area code 985. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest for the evening, author Charles Orlando. What's your question and or comment?
Hi, Alan. Hi, Charles. This is Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I've known Charles for a while now, and I'm pretty sure he's answered all of my questions. But I do have a specific question for him tonight.
Okay.
What would your suggestion be for a woman who has always been submissive in the relationship, who is trying to assert herself, and her husband is having issues with it, because he's always been the dominant partner in the relationship?
Right. Well, and that's a question I get pretty often. As women start figuring out that there is, let me rephrase it, as a woman who's been in a submissive role for a long time, as she starts to realize that she doesn't have to play that role, there's definitely power struggles. Men, the situation gets worse before it gets better, because men don't like to lose control, and that goes for any man, including me. I mean, I'm still a man. I don't have all this stuff 100% baked, you know. I've got some good ideas, and I've done a lot of growing, but evolution is a process. So I may sound good on paper and great on the radio, but if you call my wife right now, she's still going to tell you I'm a pain in the ass. So if we're just going to keep it all the way real here. But no, as you start to assert yourself, you're going to be faced with some choices, and he's going to have a lot of choices to make. He can either respect you as an individual, or and everything will be fine, or you can break down and go back to the way things were, and everything will be fine. Not for you, but they'll be fine. The trick is to not give up, to make sure that you follow up on all your actions. And as he starts relinquishing control, you can't back down. You have to push a little bit further, because all you're really fighting for is 50%. You're not trying to take over. You just want what's yours. So if you think about it in those terms, you're not trying to dominate him and make him your as Alan and I talked about so eloquently earlier, your bitch. That's
oh, no,
not what
I
you're
really
trying to do.
I really want him to be my bitch. No.
Well, I think that's a different show.
Women who want men to be their bitch.
No, I think that you're going to be faced with a lot of these situations, and you're going to have to. Eventually, this is going to come to a head. If he tries to maintain the power, and there's a significant struggle or a continuing struggle the whole time, eventually you're going to be issued an ultimatum, where it's going to be either you back down and know your place, or this is over. And you're going to have to decide which is more valuable to you, your own individuality and your own self-esteem and your own empowerment, or him. And I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. For the record, it's your life. It's your experience here on the planet. There are no wrong answers. The only wrong one is if you're not doing what you really want to do and you're just placating him and backing down just to save the relationship, because you're not doing anything for yourself or for him.
That's true. Well, I do, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, just like your wife is. I do bring home 50% of the income. Actually, I'd say 49% of the income. But I do stay at home. I do take care of the house. I may not be the best housekeeper, the best cook in the world, but I do my best. And it's just starting to feel like the walls are closing in, and I need to be a little bit more assertive, and he's not liking it one bit.
Right. Well, so, you know, there's things in the book that talk about how to assert yourself and keep it. One woman that I interviewed for the book, she got tired of constantly asking him to do the dishes. So she would ask him once, and if he didn't do it, that was fine. He'd go to bed, and she'd put the dishes on the front seat of his car. That only happened one time. You know, we're talking about someone offering you respect and equality, nothing more. And if you're bringing in half the income, so you were right there to qualify it as 49%, which means you're automatically not in control. That's garbage. If you're bringing home any amount of money, it's paying something. So, you know, even if you're not, you're still an equal because someone has to maintain, as 6ix9ine was talking about in the chat room, someone's got to maintain the house. And for any of those on the phone that maintain a house, that is the hardest job. That's harder than any corporate job ever because there is no break. There is no time off.
It's very lonely work because you're not associating with anyone during the day. And I do have a lot of resentment against him because he is out all day long, and he's talking to people, and I am home all day long, and it gets lonely. You know? I'd love to go out and work in the corporate world because it'd be a whole hell of a lot easier than staying home raising a kid.
Right. Well, I don't think he has a sense of what it really takes to maintain a house with kids at home. That's a whole different discussion. But no, my suggestion to you is that you stay vigilant, and you don't back down. You're fighting for what your equality is, for your own empowerment. And if you're finding it and he can't handle it, that's really his decision. That's like if you're with a man and you break up with him and then he go kills himself. Is that your fault? No. I mean, he made his own decision to go do whatever it is he's going to do. So if you assert yourself and then he chooses to give you an ultimatum, that's his choice. That's not yours. He can act like a child and throw a tantrum and flip out and say that he's, you know, it's over. Well, then, you know, maybe it never was. I don't know how is it, you know, your job to do everything. So that's my suggestion.
That's a very good suggestion. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Claire, for calling in. Much appreciated. I only got time for about one or two more calls. I'm going to go right now to area code 225. Area code 225, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest for the evening, book author Charles Orlando. What is your question and or comment?
How y'all doing? My name's Justin.
Justin? How you doing, Justin?
Doing all right. Now, I'm kind of a young person. I'm only 25. But these are some things that recently it happened that makes me think, you know, I just don't get it when it comes to women. I got your book, Mold 1, and
okay.
I read it twice.
Cool.
And I guess I wasn't doing it right, but because most of the covers I'm getting are pretty negative, and it really kind of messed with my head, you know. Like today, I got some threats, like with some guys, you know, like you need to leave this girl alone, and really that wasn't my intention, you know. My intention wasn't, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, harass this person, but I felt real, real bad about it, you know.
Well, let me make it clear now. Mo 1, in no way, shape, or form ever encourages or endorses a man harassing a woman. So I hope you weren't harassing anybody.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what I did, and I feel bad about it.
No. Yeah, don't want to do that ever. No, Mode 1, in a nutshell, is about whatever your romantic and or sexual desires are, interests and intentions are. You express those in a confident, upfront, and straightforwardly honest manner. And if the woman does not reciprocate, you leave her alone. See, it's when a woman rejects you and you keep persisting, that's when it's perceived as harassment, and you never want to do that. So, if a woman, if you get any hint from her that she's just not interested in you romantically or sexually and otherwise, just end the conversation, leave it alone.
All right, man. I really appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for calling. So, sorry, Charles, I thought that was going to be for you, but that was
Oh, no, man. Hey,
I got to read my book. He just got my book, and I appreciate him calling in. Erico, 347, are you just listening, or do you have a question or comment?
Oh, what's good, bro? I was just listening, and I was actually in the chat room, so So I just I couldn't hear the audio, so I decided to call in and listen. I like what you were just saying to the brother who just hung up just now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely broke the rule, the crazy, sexy, not cool rule. You know,
what's your name in the chat room?
F Dot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Do you have any questions or comments for my guest, Charles Orlando?
Actually, I just started listening in. You know, I'm going to.
Oh, you just came in the show. Okay.
Yeah, so I want to listen in. I don't want to interrupt the flow of the show. You know, I've been having a good time in the chat room and having a good time there. And, you know, and it's good to see you back on the air. You know, I caught a lot of your shows on over the summer.
Oh, appreciate that. Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate the love, man. Big time, big time. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
Just keep doing your thing. And, you know, I think you're going to do good with the book, brother.
Okay. Well, thank you, and appreciate you calling, S. Dot. Only got a few more minutes to go. Matter of fact, before I ask Charles a couple of last questions, I want to give some love to some people who stuck around in the chat room, like S. Dot. He's in the chat room, and S. Dot flies. The Art of Venice. I don't know if I pronounced that right. The Art of Venice. Southpaw 2K1 is in the chat room. Southpaw 2K1, Jason 69 Barnes, who called in earlier this evening. He has his own show. It comes on Sunday evenings called No Cut Cards. And he's had some great guests such as actor Gary Sturgis and Roy Wood, comedian. Sisters in my chat room. Inexplicable Pete is in my chat room. Madison Media, he's a legend on Blog Talk Radio. Music with a Purpose, Madison Media is in the chat room. Got Joe Bennett in the chat room. Got Joe Bennett. Got my good friend Adrian, who knows more about sports than arguably any woman on earth. That's right, even more than Hannah Storm. That's right, Adrian Diva, 36-26-36. Got Dan D in the chat room. Claire, who just called in. Claire Evans is in the chat room. My guest Charles is in the chat room. Got B Doggy Dog in the chat room. TZNM, and I got a number of guests in the chat room. So I appreciate all you chat room listeners. I appreciate all my listeners, but particularly my chat room listeners. Now, Charles, you say one of man's biggest problem is his fear of losing control. Can you just briefly expound on that?
Sure. I think that, well, as we've kind of described here, is that you know, men need control in order to make them feel whole, and that's based on primal instincts to control their surroundings. You know, this goes back to caveman days and long and before and since to maintain control of their surroundings and as far out as they can go without sacrificing the base of control that they've built. And I think that's where, you know, Claire had called in around those challenges as well. Once control has been established, men don't like to give it up for a variety of reasons. But and the truth is that some dominance is good, and some control is good. It's really necessary, in fact, for relationships to have someone be in control or to be in power, so to speak, during any time of the relationship. But power is not supposed to sit permanently with one person. It's not supposed to be with the man all the time because he's the man. It has nothing to do with it at all. It has to be shared in order to be successful. Relationships need a bit of push-pull in order to be successful long-term. Yes, there are alpha personalities that tend to take the lead, but men need to learn to give up control and listen more than they speak.
I understand where you're coming from with that. But if I have one contention with that, is that one thing I've seen happen is that some men give up too much control.
Oh, sure.
To the point where they just become soft and spineless. And I don't think any woman wants to be with no soft, spineless type brother or guy, I should say, not just brother. But
either way, we're all one people, man.
Yeah, we all brothers. So
I agree.
I guess there has to be a balancing act with the man, because he might want to give, you know, as you say, share a little bit of his power. But I think if he just totally relinquishes, then he's going to get run over and he's going to get disrespected.
Well, absolutely, and in the same way that women who give up all their control and all their power get disrespected. That's where I really separate the difference between dominance and control and leadership, and there's a big difference. You know, you brought up Barack Obama earlier in this conversation, and you know, there's a guy who knows how to, at least based on my perceptions outside of his life, that's someone who knows how to balance leadership. He delegates and outsources and listens and then comes to conclusions, but he doesn't dominate. I haven't seen him do that yet, including when he was disrespected by that idiotic congressman earlier this week. He didn't lower himself. So, you know, I think that there's a balance that has to be struck, and that's really where leadership and real confidence comes into play, and that's not control. And we talk about guys who have game, and those are guys who have real game. The guys who have a confidence that kind of exudes from their pores, but it's not fake, it's not contrived, it's not built on false bravado or masculinity that's all about control. It's just there, and that's really the difference.
Now, do you think there's been a lot of reports in various newspapers, magazines, et cetera, that we have more women who are single over the age of 30 than at any time in history? Do you think a lot of the reason is because these women are frustrated that men have not evolved?
I think we talked about World War II contributing to that. But yeah, I think that women over between the ages of like 30 and 45 enter what I've kind of called a doldrums in relationships, where they're not quite young enough for the guys to chase, but they're not quite old enough to be what could be considered, I'll use the phrase because it's in society's vernacular, cougars. They're not on either side of the fence, and they're in a place where they're figuring themselves out, and men aren't responding to them. There are also a variety of women at that age group that really have got their shit together, and they're not willing to settle anymore. And good for them. You know, men need to bring a better game to relationships. Otherwise, women are going to find other ways to meet their needs. Alvin Toffler, who's an author from the 50s and 60s, wrote a book called Future Shock that talks about the notion of temporary relationships based on how society was headed. And this is back 60 years ago. That communication was going to break down, that people weren't going to listen, and that marriage was going to become a temporary institution with traditional marriage kind of going out the window because people weren't participating anymore. And I think we've reached that point. We're at the pinnacle of our technological existence and our communicative existence, but we can't do the basics face-to-face and build successful relationships. And I tell you what, the more unsuccessful relationships we have like this, and as we talk about marriages, I'll give you some statistics here. When we talk about unsuccessful marriages, everybody knows that 50%, this is a widely quoted statistic, 50% of all marriages end before year five. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize is that of the marriages that last to year five, 50% of those end before year 10. That's a 75% divorce rate before the 10th anniversary in this country.
Wow.
And if you've been married for 10 years, most likely you have a child or two. And you're not only destroying your own relationships, but you're perpetuating the problem and showing children that marriage is a temporary institution and that it's not something to be valued. That's why we have broken homes or divorced homes accounting for 63% of youth suicide, 82% of teenage mothers, 60-some-odd percent of youth in prison, over 50% of children with behavioral problems. These aren't my statistics. This is from the census and from the Association of Divorce Reform. So, you know, we're perpetuating the problem and heading down a path it's a very slippery slope. So when you say are women, what's the most contributing factor? I think it's all of these things kind of thrown into a pot where women aren't settling anymore and men are vying for power and control. And we've reached an impasse. Someone has to someone has to give up a little bit to get the other person to give up a little bit.
Okay, real quick, we're running out of time. Let my listening audience know how they can find you on the World Wide Web and any maybe upcoming event or project you got coming up.
Sure. So my blog is theproblemismen.com, and I'll put that in the chat room as well, or you can go to my name, charlesorlando.com. My book is being sold exclusively at Amazon through the rest of this year, and then you'll be able to find it in local bookstores, and I'll put that link in there as well. The title is The Problem with Women is Men, The Evolution of a Man's Man to a Man of Higher Consciousness. I've got a couple of book signings on the West Coast coming up, as well as some speaking engagements that are happening both here and on the East Coast. Check my website for dates and times. It's updated very, very regularly.
Well, Charles, I want to say it has truly, truly, truly been a pleasure conversing with you. You have great knowledge. You articulate your points extremely well, and I really appreciate you being a guest on my fall season opener.
Well, it's definitely my pleasure. I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank the listeners and the callers enough. Thank you so much for listening to me and allowing me this forum, Alan. Can't thank you enough.
Mm-hmm. That was Charles Orlando. Charles Orlando, join me next week when I will have Gina Cloud on my show. Gina Cloud will talk about redefining woman, and she uses it as an acronym. Redefining woman. That will be next week, same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great and enjoyable weekend. And I am out of here. Well, I thought I was out of here, and now I'm telling you, this guy keeps just bugging me because I ain't even mentioned nothing about videos, and this guy just, I don't know what his problem is.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
Jackass. I'm out of here, folks. Have a great one.